Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Well, let's not.
Here's John Williams.
Celebrate too soon, but I like our chances. Hey, this is John Williams. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio till 3 Saturdays from 10 to noon on social media. Look for me. Let's get along there, too, on all those platforms. WGN King John. Here we go now.
The heartland is in the grip of something called the polar vortex. The super cold purple there in the middle, that's a 50 below wind chill. It stops at Duluth, Minnesota, up by Canada, and then it goes, you know what, let's just jam our frost tongue down on Chicago, right down there. Let's just get all up in that Lake Michigan crevice down there. Chicago is so ridiculously cold that in order to keep trains running, they had to deliberately set the train tracks on fire. The police department in McLean, Illinois, posted this picture of Elsa from Frozen getting arrested. I was there when the number one, the coldest night of all time happened in Chicago. This is negative 25, I think, this morning in Chicago. Negative 27, January 20th, 1985, my first winter in Chicago. Oh. I will always love that city. I will always love that city for how tough they are. And I would like to offer... I'd like to offer some cold weather tips to the good people of Chicago right now. Okay. Hey there. Chicagoans know that our cold is the worst, okay? Here's how you keep your polar sausage from snapping off. First, take all your old mustaches, sew them into a scarf, okay? In Chicago, you shed one mustache every year. It's like antlers with deer, okay? Second, if you're really cold, slice open and crawl inside a visiting Packers fan, okay? No, it works. I'm telling you, it's work. It's legal there. They got that insulating layer of cheese. Keep you safe for days. You can eat your way out. Finally, you're going to need a portable source of heat, okay? Get yourself two Portillo's Italian beefs with hot peppers, okay? Up against the cheeks, okay? Do not eat your emergency warmth, okay? You're going to need them later to make love to, okay? God will understand. God will understand. Just go to St. Mike's and ask for Father Pat. Go to St. Pat's and ask for Father Mike. Either way. Both good guys. Stay safe. Go Bears. We'll get them next year. Okay.
Not bad. Not bad. Stephen Colbert last night saluting Chicago, and we'll salute him right back. Thank you for all of that. That's better, by the way, than some of the other things that you've been hearing. That is, people are just getting angry. You know, maybe we really do need this warmth that's right around the corner because here's Chuck Swirsky's, the sportscaster, longtime announcer here and play-by-play guy in town. And he tweeted yesterday, for people who pose selfies in warm weather with one of those, hey, it's 80 here, it's no joking matter. The weather in the Midwest is serious stuff. Be a little more sensitive. Save the humor for a later date. Al Roker, who's as nice as they come, was doing the weather on TV yesterday and then guesting on, I think, was it a CNN show or maybe a different NBC show? But he said this.
And by the way, I just have to say, this nitwit governor in Kentucky saying that, oh, we're weak. These are kids who are going to be in sub-zero wind chills. No. Cancel school. Stop it. You know, adults, if they want to be out there, that's great. These are our children, you know. I'm glad you're not a teacher.
I am too, Al. Whatever you're selling, I'm buying. I wonder if Larry Lujack would be golfing today. Can't you see that? Can't you see Lujack doing that? Because I was thinking about, yeah, really, he probably is. I was thinking of setting up my indoor-outdoor table tennis facility. And just because it's right there on my back porch, I could just roll it out, put the wings down, and play. And but the problem is I can't get Brenda to hold the paddle on the other end of the table, and I don't think my sons will either. And Daisy's not much of a ping pong player. So there I am just practicing my serves, but I think that's a photo that when I get home tonight I'm going to do.
What's your deck snowpack like?
It's not bad. I shoveled it all off after the first big snow, and then a lot of it blew back. There'll be some snow there. It'll be tough finding the white ping pong ball when it goes into the snow, but since nobody else is on the other side, I don't expect I'll be playing along. But I think that's a shot. Hey, Brenda, I think we're going to do that when I get home.
You don't have the, it doesn't fold up so you can practice?
I do. Now that you mentioned it, I could just do that. Yeah, sure. I'll just fold up the one side. Brenda, you're off the hook.
Someone's going to have to take the picture, I'm thinking, so.
Yeah, right. So she will have to go out there for that. You know, I tweeted last night that the hot water challenge has now officially jumped the shark, right? Everybody's doing it. One of our listeners who's living in some place where there's green grass and it's 80 degrees, he did it too. I posted this video on my Facebook page and Twitter too. God bless him. But one of our listeners just went out into his backyard. He's got sandals and shorts. It's 80. He has a cup of hot water. He throws it in the air. It falls in the grass. He walks away. It's very funny, saluting us or mocking us, but okay, we've all done that trick. It's fun. Now, listen, I started it around here, so I get it. But even I know when something's jumped the shark as I do it. I saw this in the, what was the source of this long story, Elif, about all of the deaths up and down the Midwest and East Coast?
Daily Mail.
Daily Mail said this, and I hadn't heard why we're having the polar vortex. I'm sure Tom Skilling told Ro Khan about it, but here's what they said. The unusually frigid weather is attributed to a sudden warming, isn't that ironic, far above the North Pole. A blast of warm air from misplaced Moroccan heat last month made the normally super chilly air temperature above the North Pole rapidly increase. So a month ago, Morocco had a bunch of hot air. It went up into the atmosphere. It went over to the North Pole. It bumped this cold air mass out of the way. They say it split into two, and one of those vortex pieces is responsible for the sub-zero temperatures across the Midwest this week. So you could argue that it is warming that has caused this cooling here in the Midwest. So how about them apples?
There's also been a hole in the Antarctic Ocean that is about two-thirds the size of Manhattan.
Yeah, I saw that. Well, underground, right? It's like, was it a sinkhole kind of thing? There's a giant empty crevasse underneath.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
It's scary.
That is like crazy. I haven't felt, seen, or heard any ice quakes, but that sounds like something out of a movie. I guess the water that is below the surface of the land, of the ground. There's water down there, too. It's got so cold down there, water, you know, expands when it turns to ice. And so we've been getting some ice quakes. I thought thunder snow was cool, or what was that what they called it? Thunder snow, yeah, where you'd get thunder and lightning in a snowstorm. We famously had that several years ago. But now we've had some ice quakes as well. And this is a science question for somebody, maybe you. Can ice get colder than 32 degrees? When I see that it's 20 below zero and I see the ice, I think, oh, man, is that cold. Actually, that ice is as cold as ice is when it's 30 degrees outside because ice is ice. Water turns to ice at 32 degrees. Ice is 32 degrees. I don't know if I'm right about that. Does anybody know? Because I've often wondered this. Can ice be colder than 32 degrees or ice is the water at 32 degrees? Now, the air and land around it, I don't know, something else can be cold. The air can be cold, but I think ice is always 32 degrees. That's what ice does. My estimated probability on that, 19%. Low, really, 19%. I'm not sure. Do you have the answer to that? Hokey smokes. Elif says she's looking that up. There's one other question I had about all of this, and I don't remember what the question was. Oh, yeah. The Chicago Tribune said that that you may be suffering from vortex skin.
Well, I think I have that.
Oh,
yes.
Man. I took a picture of the ice plates on the river outside our windows. We're on the 18th floor, at 303 East Wacker, downtown Chicago. We're overlooking the beautiful Chicago River, which has frozen, of course, but in plates. So you've got these big white plates kind of fit together like a jigsaw puzzle with then various shades of white and ice in between. It's the very picture of cold. I took a picture of that from up high, and then I tweeted it out. This is my skin, hashtag Thiberia. Thiberia. I thought that was clever. But my skin's just a disaster, and yours is too, huh, Steve?
No, I was just trying to go along. What, is your skin all dry and everything?
They said that, you know, obviously you need to drink a lot of water. And I never thought about it this way, but they say when you see your breath when you're outside, that's moisture. I mean, what are you looking at? That's the condensation of the water in the cold. So when you are talking and breathing outside, you maybe don't appreciate it. Anytime you see steam and breath coming out of people, that's them losing hydration. You got to keep drinking water, drinking water, drinking water.
Okay, but so if it's so, are you saying if it's not that cold, we're not breathing out that same amount of moisture?
Good question, Steve.
Thank you.
Don't have an answer on that.
Because what I think of when I see people breathing in the winter and seeing their breath go forever,
right?
I'm thinking every day I'm breathing all these people's air.
Ew.
Because all that is, right? All that is an illustration of how far people's breath goes.
Right.
Ew, like I needed one more complex.
So, like if you're standing on the L platform.
Right,
and you're
you see everybody's air. You're taking in their molecules.
Exactly.
Wow.
So why would I wash my hands? I mean, I'm breathing it in directly.
Let's go to Pam Jones for commentary.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Isn't it true,
you,
though?
You're so right. You're so right.
I never thought about that, Steve.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to think about that.
Breathe in.
It says that you should not only keep yourself, you know, one of the reasons to keep yourself covered up then is to keep the steam from escaping from you. And they say petroleum jelly is as good as or better than any other product you can use. You don't need fancy products. You just need a layer. What you do when you put lotion on your skin and you can't put too much on, but petroleum jelly works, say, on your feet at night or at some point during the day. What you're really doing is just adding a layer to keep the moisture from literally coming off your skin. All of this in the Chicago Tribune today.
So, I've started putting it on my face.
I don't think that's a bad idea.
Because I started getting these cold hives, I guess. People get allergic to the cold. I got these really painful hives. It was painful all weekend long. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to start putting that Vaseline on my face, and I don't have any problem right now. So
it says here in the newspaper, Pam, dehydration can be a danger for South Pole scientists when it's very dried out. Your skin does not provide the kind of barrier you're used to. Dryness leads to cracking. You get dry riverbed skin. That can lead to irritation, and then you suffer from eczema, discomfort, and stuff like that. So you may be going through, or were going through, a little bit of that. I'm not a doctor, but I can read the Tribune. So thank you for all of that wise information. Bill says he can help me out on my question here. Hold on a second. Hey, Bill, are you there?
I am here, John. How are you?
Good afternoon. You're on WGN. What do you know?
I know that water can be below 32 degrees. It can be. It's called super cooled or subcooled.
Right.
And the proof is, when you take a have you ever taken a plastic bottle of water, like from your garage in weather like this, actually, and you open it up? And it's liquid in the bottle before you open it up, but when you pop the cap on it, it just frosts right up. It just turns completely to ice. And that's because the water is below 32 degrees, and it's looking for some kind of a stimulant to crystallize it.
Well, when it turns...
I don't know if you ever did that, but I mean, kids can take that bottle of water and actually smack it on the countertop, and it'll turn to ice right away.
So what about the ice, though? When it's ice, is it 32 degrees, or will the ice be...
The ice is colder.
Colder than 32 degrees.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, water can be colder than 32 degrees, so ice definitely can be.
Well, I'm not a scientist. I'm just asking these questions.
Me either.
And that may sound stupid, but I've often wondered that. I thought, well, once you're at ice, that's as cold as that can get, because it's 32 degrees. Hey, listen, thanks for the help, Bill. I appreciate you.
Okay.
By the way, Bill, before you go, what's your estimated probability of accuracy on that? How certain are you of what you just told us?
I just showed my grandson that just this weekend, so I'm 100%.
There's no such thing as 100%.
I'm sorry, 99.5.
Very good. Thank you, sir.
Okay, take care.
Bye now. John, I feel more thirsty these past days than usual. Yeah, been there, done that. John, 32 degrees would be very soft ice. John, the coolest place in the world right now is in Russia. Average negative 50. Look it up. Huh. Water can also be colder than 32 degrees if you add salt. Well, I get that. If it's zero today and tomorrow is twice as cold, how cold or warm is it? Yeah, that's I've thought about that before, too, because that's what I do. But say it's two below, and then I say tomorrow it's going to be twice as cold. Is that four below? No, because that's just 2 degrees colder. Minus two is really cold. What's twice as cold as two below zero? There's no answer to that. You lose moisture when you breathe, whether it's cold or not. Oh, that's for you, Steve Bertrand. In the cold, you can see it, and when it's warm, you can't.
But it still goes.
You're okay, but either way, then, I guess it's all the more reason to stay hydrated.
Right.
But it doesn't seem as compelling as I was making it now, does it?
Well, it just means it's constant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything about breathing in other people's oxygen?
No, and I think that's unwarranted.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I think we got a lot to worry about, and that should not be on anybody's list.
I think that's the most important thing of all of this. Sure, of course, you're supposed to hydrate and put lotion on and stuff, but we should be aware that we're always breathing in. You know, since if we're going to be germ phobic, we should be aware that we're always sucking in other
people's germs. All right, but I take public transportation. So your recommendation is what now?
To live with it, not to live with it, but to know that you do live with it. It's just normal. Not to, like, do the limbo under the breath clouds when they come out of people's mouths.
Yeah, but I think you need to temper then that observation with that, because Pam has left the building. She actually got up and ran outside, screaming hysterically. I mean, some people are germ-phobic. Look, folks don't want to...
I know, but...
If you watch somebody leave a men's room with their elbows because they're afraid they're going to touch something another human being has touched...
But they're germ-phobic, I think, in many cases, out of... fear or ignorance.
I agree with that.
So the point is, if you know that you're always sucking in
all right,
that
well
stuff,
then, so let's reposition it. Here's Steve Bertrand's public service announcement about breathing in 3, 2, 1, go.
You're going to get the germs anyway.
Yeah, that doesn't do it, Steve. You know who's really got happy about all of this weather talk in Chicago? Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Who is happy that we have been so preoccupied with the weather in Chicago? I'll give you a hint. The person's name rhymes with Danny Solis, because that story is not going away.
Ed Burke?
Ed Burke. Yes. What rhymes with Danny Solis? Ed Burke. What rhymes with Ed Burke? Mike Madigan. All of these cats, man. I'll tell you what, we haven't paid much attention to that story this week. You know, a lot of us are reading the Sun-Times and chatting briefly about it. But if you wonder what 2019 is going to be like, just remember, when it got real cold, that's the same time this story broke, and you're going to hear about it for the next 12 months. And it's only going to get bigger, say some smart people to us, on and off the air. I'm looking at the credit card invoice for Solis's, the Chicago City Alderman, who is retiring. I'm looking at the invoice for his credit card use from his campaign fund. I'm not real good about campaign fund usage, but I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to do a lot of the things that he was doing. Purchases dating back to 2009. Credit card in his name. Used to pay $100 to a Mario Tricosi hair salon. Payments and purchases on Solis's card also included, say, the Sun-Times $246 payment for an eye exam, $2,500 payment to an orthodontist, $180 to Macy's for items that included boys, 8 to 20 polo, $40 to Nordstrom's for some kids' shoes, Macy's, cookware. He used it evidently to pay the Francis Xavier Ward School, a monthly payment of $1,100, up to $12,500 for his kids' tuition. Not supposed to do that. They got him on all of that, and they could have thrown him in jail or prosecuted him, but no, whatever they've really got is so much bigger than this run-of-the-mill stuff that it looks like what they're telling Danny Solis is, okay, we're not going to press you on all of this, but you have to agree to wear a wire and be our mole, and for 2 years, let's go fishing. And they did. And what they caught is the story of 2019.
Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go.
I guarantee you, as much as there were viral videos and memes and funny posts going on this week as we tried to deal with the cold, wait till it gets to 32 this weekend, I guess. It's going to get to 32 degrees on its way to 52, maybe mid or early next week. When it gets to 32, people are going to be running around in their shorts. People are going to be running around just being crazy and silly. They will be golfing. I will be playing ping pong. 32 degrees, that's been done. Brenda, when I get home, we got to play some ping pong tonight.
Tonight?
Well, I mean, I usually get home in the early evening. As soon as I get home, I'm flapping down my ping pong table and we're playing some table tennis. Post that video. Oh, that'll be cool. Lots of texts about the cold. I said, can ice get any colder than 32 degrees? John says, 815, when water converts to ice, the temperature remains at 32 degrees during the change, and then the ice temperature becomes the same temperature as the environment, signed a former Stevenson chemistry teacher. They got good people at Stevenson. 262 says metal solidifies, like water solidifies, at a much higher temperature. Just because something turns from a liquid to a solid doesn't mean it doesn't get colder. Okay, ice can be colder than 32. Hey, Jim, I asked if it can be, if it's twice as cold as 2 below, how cold is it? Did you want to answer that, Jim?
Oh, sure. Well, here's the problem, Jen. You know, we have three scales for measuring temperature.
Yeah.
One's Fahrenheit, one is Celsius, and the other is Kelvin.
Yeah.
The problem with the Celsius and the Fahrenheit scale is that they both have zero in the middle of the scale.
Right.
In other words, there's positive numbers and negative numbers. So if you wanted to find out what the temperature is, if it's minus two degrees today,
right,
you have to convert that to Kelvin.
Convert it to Kelvin, and then you can do that.
Did I read or hear somewhere this morning that there's a spot below zero where Celsius and Fahrenheit meet?
Yes. Producer Olive, find out where that is, please. What is the spot where Fahrenheit and Celsius meet?
It's hell. That's where it is. I'll tell you that right now.
By the way, speaking of Atlanta, thank you for the phone call, Jim. I appreciate your putting us on that track. Enough of math now. Let's go to Super Bowl Central. Our Adam Hogue is in Atlanta.
Hey, so I think John is going to bring me in. There he is.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Hey. I'm good.
We're dealing with it up here. How is it down there?
Oh, man. It's crazy. The Thursday on Radio Row is by far the craziest day. There's just so many people walking around with big entourages.
Really?
And it gets so crowded. Evander Holyfield's here today. I talked to him earlier.
So here's what's happening. Our Adam Hogue, who you hear in a variety of capacities, at WGN Radio on the air, on the stream, before and after Sox games, et cetera, has been in Atlanta on Radio Row for Super Bowl coverage this week. You've been listening to him on the stream. You can hear him at WGNRadio.com, for instance. So we are simulcasting on your live stream then, correct?
Yes, we're doing it together. It makes perfect sense. This is good. And I know you guys want to talk some Super Bowl things and some of the issues that have been plaguing the NFL this week.
Yeah. Well, so what is the big story though? I mean, just kind of tell me where you are and first tell me what your experience has been and what's been percolating down there.
Yeah, well, to paint a picture for the listeners, we're in this huge convention center, the Georgia World Congress Center, which is right next door to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where the game will be played on Sunday. And, you know, the NFL takes over these cities for Super Bowl week. I mean, it's like a shortened version of the Olympics. They don't have to build as many venues, obviously, but, I mean, the whole downtown area is really taken over, and this convention center is taken over. So right now in this room, I mean, there's hundreds of radio stations. They're all lined up with tables. And then you have all these athletes. We just had Brian Urlacher and Robbie Gould on the show. I told you Evander Holyfield's walking around. And a lot of them are pitching different things and working with good cause. Well, Urlacher's working with Special Olympics Illinois. So a great cause.
That's
so
a good pitch. Yeah, I'll take that.
So that's why, you know, the athletes come here. They're selling something. We're all trying to get guests. And it turns into a really fun, busy week.
What did Robbie Gould have to say?
Well, it was interesting because it's pretty obvious he wants to come home to Chicago. His family still lives in Chicago. They have lived there even while he was out in San Francisco the last 2 years. The question is, do the Bears want him back? I think the ball, just from talking to Robbie Gold, and you know, for your listeners who didn't hear the interview, it'll be podcasted later on WGNRadio.com. He wants to come back. I think it's pretty obvious. So the Bears need a kicker.
What was what was the status, or is the status, with him and Bears management right now?
Yeah, so that's something I asked him. You know, I asked him, are there any fences that need to be mended? The thing is, when the Bears let him go, there were money reasons. There's salary cap reasons. He was making a lot of money. And he also was in the, you know, the, if you just look back at his career right now, that was the worst part of his career. He missed some big kicks that season before. But I also think there were some other reasons behind it. You know, Ryan Pace has been working really, really hard over the last 4 years to get, you know, really good guys in that locker room. And look, Robbie Gold's a good guy. I'm not trying to say that he's not. He does some tremendous things in the community. He's up for the Walter Payton Man of the Year award this year, which is why he was here today with us. But he's also a very confident guy. I think the word abrasive can sometimes be used to describe.
Who are we talking about now?
Robbie Gold.
Really? Okay, keep going.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that, you know, the question about fit in the locker room and with the team is maybe something that is on the table here.
That's funny because I have this, you know, what do I know about the NFL? I have this image, though, the field goal kicker is the guy in the corner with his own locker that nobody really pays any attention to, and that they have no room to own any locker, right? They can't be the locker room guy because they're just a puny little field goal kicker.
Well, and that's why I want to be careful here. Robbie's a great teammate. His, you know, Brian Urlacher was just walking around here. Everyone who plays with Robbie loved him. But you're right, John, because you bring up that image of the kicker who just kind of stays out of the way. And I think that is a good way to describe Cody Parkey this year. But Robbie's different. Robbie is sometimes the most competitive guy in that room. So you have the kicker who's very vocal and is trash-talking and things like that. And I'm not so sure everybody loves that out of their kicker, if that makes sense.
Everybody liked Kevin Butler, right?
Yeah, I didn't cover Kevin Butler, but I think so.
Yeah. Well, so Gold has been great since he left Chicago, right?
Oh, he's been unbelievable. He's missed 3 field goals, John, in 3 years.
So I mean, and Parkey may be terrific, you know, for Green Bay or somebody down the road too. I mean, that's just don't you think that's possible, that these guys, sometimes it's environment, it's fit, it's where their head is at any given time?
Well, one thing Robbie was just talking to us about is it's hard to kick in Soldier Field, and you need to get in a rhythm, you need to get used to it, with all the different kickers the Bears have had, and it's been 4 or 5 now since Robbie left, I mean, it's hard to get used to the environment when you're changing kickers all that much. I mean,
I would hate to be a kicker in Chicago anyway, with the wind, the grass, you know, the volatility, the position. You know, it's not like the team is so good that they don't need the kicker a lot. I mean, really, how much do the Patriots need their kicker? Sometimes they do. But by and large, the season is not hanging on that guy's foot. And I think Chicago is a very tough town to be a kicker in.
Right. And I think that that's part of the reason why Robbie Gold makes so much sense, you know, just being a free agent this year. Because he's your all-time leader in points. He has that record for the Bears. He has kicked successfully in Chicago. So instead of bringing in another kicker that has never handled those conditions, you're just taking another big risk.
Are people talking about Kareem Hunt still, and what's the status of him and the Bears?
Yeah, I mean, it's a story because the Bears haven't shut it down. And until they do, or until he signs with somebody else, it's going to continue to be a topic of conversation.
We're talking about the former Kansas City Chiefs running back who on video was seen kicking and pushing a woman. They got rid of him, even though he was the rookie of the year. No, he's MVP, wasn't he? What was his accolade?
He led the NFL in rushing as a rookie, and he's a really talented. That was with Matt Nagy as the Chiefs offensive coordinator. So there's the big relationship between the two of them. Matt Nagy told us at his press conference after the season that he had already been in contact with Kareem Hunt, not for football reasons, but just to see it, check up on him and how he's doing.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that. I think that phone call got blown way out of proportion.
I agree.
I think that's what an adult, a mentor, should do for a young man. That's just class on both sides. The question is, though, if the Bears sign him, will we be one of those teams that will just take anybody, you know, if the money's good because we so want to win? I don't know what they should do.
I don't know either. It's a very complicated topic, and the Cubs are going through the same thing with Addison Russell right now. You know, is it right or wrong to just cut the guy because, you know, obviously he did something that's really bad, and the video is really bad, and there's no excuse for it. But if you abandon the guy, is he ever going to get better? Is he going to learn from what he did? Can he be rehabilitated? You know what I mean? And I think when you're a mentor like Matt Nagy and you're a good coach, you want to help these people. Yeah. And so I think that's what the view that Matt's looking at it right now. And if he is getting his life in order and he still happens to be a really good football player, well, does it make sense to hire him back in your organization, or is that just too bad of a look to do? I don't necessarily know the right answer, but I also do. The reason he was cut in Kansas City is not necessarily because of what happened, but because he wasn't truthful about it. He lied to them, and they said, "If you're lying, we're going to get rid of you." And he lied, and they got rid of him.
It's 1:48. Adam Hogue on WGN Radio, also on the stream. Hello, streamers, and hello, WGN Radio listeners. We're simulcasting with you as you broadcast from the Super Bowl site in Atlanta. Are people talking about Tony Romo? Here's what I think is going to happen. Romo's got so much favorable press about how he called the championship game, you know, the conference championship game, that every time he opens his mouth now, somebody's going to make a note and they're going to keep score. The Wall Street Journal, in a story today, reported that they went back and watched every single game that Romo did this year, and they logged every single prediction he made. Sometimes they were vague, like they're going to pass. Sometimes he was very specific, like they're going to run off tackle. You know, and he would call out the person. Anyway, they calculated all of that, and they said 69% of the time he was correct. What they didn't do was say, how does that compare to other NFL analysts? But anyway, about two-thirds of the time he's correct, and he was famously correct in the conference championship game. But I think now he's got to be careful, because it's going to be tempting to either be very careful or just start throwing stuff against the wall. You know what I mean?
Well, and here's the thing, because he doesn't always do this. And what I wonder is, was he trying to make a point in that game, the Chiefs-Patriots game in the AFC Championship, of, I'm just going to start predicting everything? Or was it because what the Chiefs were doing defensively was extremely predictable?
Yeah.
Because I don't know nearly as much football as Tony Romo does, obviously, but I know enough that I was sitting there, and when I saw Rob Gronkowski go all the way, line up to the outside, one-on-one coverage, I would have thrown the ball to him too, especially if I was Tom Brady, the best quarterback of all time. You know what I mean? Like, it's not what he was predicting was all that complicated,
right?
But it looked really good for Tony Romo, and he was calling it all out like as they were lining up at the line of scrimmage. And I don't know about you, I loved it, just as somebody who's watching football. And so I think he picks his spots. I don't think he's trying to just predict everything. I think it's when he sees something and he's using his own knowledge, he's sharing that with the viewer, and I think he does a tremendous job.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't have a dog in this hunt. I'm not a Tony Romo hater or a lover. I did notice he was getting very animated, and people like that about him in the booth as well. And they say as the games get more important and as you get later in the games, he starts to make more play-specific calls. So, again, the meters are going to be running on how accurate he is, which will be just another fun wrinkle.
Sure.
Let's close with this. Give me one other fun thing or interesting thing you're going to be watching the Super Bowl for, Adam.
Well, besides the commercials, right?
Which I don't think are as big a deal as they used to be. I suppose everybody's just going to see how well Brady performs, huh?
Yeah, I think that is the biggest story, regardless of if the Patriots win or lose. Just I'll give you this one, John, because last year what we didn't have any idea of until the game got started was Malcolm Butler, who, you know, maybe not every fan out there or listener out there knows who that was going into the game last year, but he was a cornerback, and he ended up being benched for the game. And a lot of the Patriots players didn't know that he was being benched. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because it turned out to be a big deal in the offseason. It led to a fracture between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and they were able to mend their fences for this season, and now they're back here in the Super Bowl. But is there long-term damage from what happened last year, and does anything like that play out again this year if they end up losing to the Rams? Because right now the Patriots are the biggest team in football, and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are the biggest faces of football. And so the results of this game, I think, will dictate a lot about the future of the Patriots, and that's obviously a big story in the NFL.
I'm going to wrap it up here and say so long, but folks can continue to listen to you by going to WGNRadio.com. Is that the easiest way to do it? How's the best way to follow your stream?
Yeah, WGNRadio.com, and we are going all the way till 3 today. We're going to have Bears tight end Trey Burton joining us here shortly. And if you don't want to listen live, that's okay. It's all being podcasted on WGNRadio.com as well. All the interviews we've done all week long, you can find it there. And we're having a lot of fun out here on Radio Row.
He is the king of our platform. Okay, Adam Hoge, keep doing what you're doing. Thanks for being down there, and we'll check in later on.
All right. Thanks, John.
Good to hear you, sir. 708 said, hey, you guys, Robbie Gould, we were just talking with Adam Hoge about the former Bears kicker, was the union rep when he was traded. The McCaskies don't like unions. Gould was very proactive for the union. He won't be back, says Bill in Mokena. Thank you, Bill. We are also talking about the weather and the cold temperatures, which are a little bit better today, but still dangerously cold. Steve Bertrand wondered out loud, isn't there a point where when it gets cold enough, Celsius and Fahrenheit intersect? Producer Aleph, were you able to look that up? Where is the temperature intersect on Fahrenheit and I guess Celsius?
Negative 40 degrees.
Negative 40, Steve.
So we didn't have too far to go.
Yeah. I'm not anxious to hit that. And a lot of
aren't you a little disappointed we got so close?
Well, I did want to break some records, right? I did want to have the lowest high temperature, which I think was minus 11, and we got to minus 10. Stuff like that. So
it's kind of a ripoff after going through all this.
Well, I know. I really do want to say I survived this. In fact, the news click at WGNRadio.com said, "What's your attitude about the weather?" And it was, this is an adventure, or this is terrifying and dangerous, or it's just a big pain in the butt. And it was about a third, a third, a third. But a third of you said, this is an adventure. We'll be able to tell our grandkids about this. Now we don't have a hook to hang that story on, except it was really cold that one time. But record breaking is kind of what you're shooting for. Anyway, there's that.
Thinking big thoughts. So you don't have to.
We really do.
Here's John Williams.
It's exhausting. This is John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We are here weekdays till 3, Saturdays 10 to noon. On social media, WGN King John, WGN King John. Our news click is a daily web poll question we post. You'll find it on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. It's also at WGNRadio.com. The daily web poll question is about a news click. It's a story of the news, and we ask you your opinion on it. So lately we've been asking you about the wall or about the weather or something like that. Today's news click is about Michael Telek. He is on line 7. Michael, this is John Williams, and you're on WGN Radio. How are you, sir?
I'm great, John. I appreciate you for having me on.
KDKA TV, you worked there last week, right?
Yeah, up until Tuesday. I was there. I started in June. I'm from Pittsburgh, so I worked my way around Ohio. I'm sure you know how the media game works. You work your way up market to market. So I bounced around Ohio to get my dream job in Pittsburgh. Was here 7 months, and then I made a dumb mistake, got fired for it. So I'm just trying to turn it into something good with all this charity work.
And I think you will. But let's first tell the story about what happened. Why did you just lose your job at KDKA TV in Pittsburgh?
So basically, I'm sure people have seen it. It's been all over the internet. It's been blown up everywhere. I wrote known cheater for Tom Brady's graphic on the news. And it was a little light Super Bowl package, last story of the news, just being like, hey, the Super Bowl's this week, like catch it on CBS, et cetera, et cetera. So I wrote about how if the Patriots win, they'll tie Steelers for 6 rings, and then Pittsburgh, that is like a sin. So people would be upset about that. So I thought, oh, what should I do for Tom Brady's name? I put, like, Giselle's husband or, like, known cheater. I was like, well, Deflategate, everything where he was suspended for violating the rules. I was like, oh, I can defend that. I feel like that would be funnier and people would love it and Pittsburgh would go crazy. They loved it. They went crazy. My bosses did not find it funny. They treated it very seriously, which I totally understand. It blew up and just must create a nightmare for them. It was just tough whenever you go in the next day and like, hey, you no longer work here. I understand the decision. They have the right to make it. I'm sorry I put them in a hard spot, but it's just a very tough situation for me.
So I'm reading from one news account here. It says a TV producer in Pittsburgh has been fired for labeling New England quarterback Tom Brady a known cheater during the news broadcast. So as you described at the end of the cast, a feature story about Tom Brady and his going for another ring. And underneath, you've got a chyron something in. It would have logically said Patriots quarterback. You described some of the other options you had, but you went with known cheater. And when I first saw that, I went, well, you know, that's funny because, you know, this isn't Deadspin. This isn't a funny sports site. It's KDKA TV and it's the newscast. But I also, mm-hmm. but you know, so then I'm just reading more about it. I forgot what happened after Deflategate when he was accused of being part of that intentional deflating of the footballs. He was suspended by the NFL for 4 games and fined $1 million for his role in the scandal. So it's not
right, and that,
it's not like the NFL didn't agree with you. They didn't do that, I presume, if they didn't think he was completely innocent.
No, and that's how I thought about it as well. And I understand when people say, oh, it's on the news side of the broadcast. It's supposed to be serious. And I'm like, it's a story about the Super Bowl. I mean, we run stories about like, oh, hey, like this cat was lost for 6 months and now it's found. It's like, yeah. It's just something cute and fun. It's supposed to be like a wink and a nudge and be funny. Ooh. As it meant to be and just got blown out of proportion.
What's kind
of
funny,
bad for everyone involved, but it's been pretty cool right now.
Just to see Bertrand in our newsroom.
What's kind of funny is you probably did at one time do a story calling Tom Brady a known cheater because the NFL did find that he cheated.
Found that he cheated. I mean,
you can see articles everywhere where, like, news stations, KEK included, it's like, hey, this little kid won his science project because he proved Tom Brady was a cheater by deflating the balls.
We had that kid on this radio station today. That kid was on our station today.
He's an amazing scientist. I can't wait till he wins a Nobel Prize.
Because I thought that would be your defense, it would be, okay, maybe that was too jokey, but it was defensible. But it sounds like, so then when they called you in, what was that interview or conversation like with your news director?
So the first day when it happened, they were just like, hey, like, what were you thinking? Like, that was not a good idea. And I explained my situation. Like, we understand what you're going for, but, like, we just can't have things like that. And they're like, we're going to write you up for reprimand, and then we'll go from here. I said, okay, that's fine. So next day, I do my normal shift. I do my job. At the end of it, like, they're like, hey, we're going to meet here in a moment. And When we met, we sat down for about 30 seconds. She said, we investigated the situation. You did it intentionally. So today is your last day at KEKA. And that was the end of it. And I walked out the door.
What do the people in Pittsburgh say about Tom Brady? What are the people in Pittsburgh saying about your firing?
It's been very supportive from, like, everywhere all over the country, even in Boston. Like, I've been on talk shows in Boston this morning. Like, we're having fun joking about it. Like, I love Tom Brady. I think he's the best quarterback ever. I think he's the best football player ever. I mean, all the man does is win, and he's a super great guy. I mean, just doesn't do anything, like, harmful or, like, anything mean to people. Yeah, the Patriots blur the lines and whatnot, but it's a game. It's a sport. It's not supposed to be taken serious. It's a game. So people were very supportive. They're like, oh, this is the funniest thing ever. I've had people reaching out who are, like, car dealer guys. Like, hey, I own a car dealership, and you can come work in sales here if you still need a job. And, like, people even reach out, like, oh, come work at my shop or do this. And, like, it's just been great. It's been crazy.
I'm reading from Deadspin. You said, I mean, it's Pittsburgh. We hate the Patriots. We hate Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. So it was a little wink for the fans.
Have you looked at the job history of your general manager at all? Do you know?
Wait a minute. Do not answer that question. Why are you even asking that?
That doesn't even affect me. Like,
oh, I see. Right. Like maybe he's a Brady fan?
Sometime at WBC or something like that. Yeah.
No, that's.
I mean, all the people, like, I've had people from the boss, like, the station that runs the Patriot games, they've messaged me. They're like, hey, it's funny. Like, you should just, like, you throw something back at them saying, like, watch Super Bowl from your couch or something. And I'm like, that's exactly what I'm doing.
So you also, though, was it you or was it your friends that set up a GoFundMe page?
So my friends set up this GoFundMe thing. I said, I just bought a house, like, 2 weeks ago. Because, again, like, I'm from Pittsburgh, just moved back. I thought I was going to stay here forever. Yeah. And so it's like, oh, I just bought this house, and I'm going to get fired. And they're all freaking out, thinking I have no money. But I mean, you don't buy a house when with like no cash in your savings and stuff. So I have about like a couple months to survive. I think I got to land a job relatively soon. Even had to be something like, oh, laying bricks or like they're working at the grocery store, just doing something to make a little cash.
But then tell me about the GoFundMe page.
Okay, yeah. So now that they did the GoFundMe, when the first happened, there was a couple $100. I'm like, oh, you guys are nice. Like, you don't have to do that. I'm just going to donate to charity. And so instead, like, as I thought more, I'm like, oh, I'll donate to charity in Tom Brady's name just to, like, make a big joke out of this and do whatever. And so far, it's close up to, like, $2,500, and it's only been, like, a day. And, like, people are being supportive. They're just dropping in, like, $5, $10. And it's like, hey, like, we all, like, hate Tom Brady. You were funny. We're sorry you got fired. But, I mean, hey, we're going to help people. And it's a good situation all around so far.
So the money you're getting for the GoFundMe page that your friends have set up, you're going to donate to a charity in Tom Brady's name.
Yeah, so the plan, I think, is we're going to pick like a Boston charity and a Pittsburgh charity. Depending on how much money we get, I would love to get to more people. But, I mean, if it's only at $2,000 right now, I mean, if we give $1,000 apiece to some deserving charity, I mean, can't be mad about that.
Have you heard from Tom Brady's people at all?
No, it's funny. Like I scroll through the Twitter mentions and stuff because it's just I've been doing this all this stuff through Twitter, which you can find at MKTelek, TELEK, and that's where the GoFundMe is as well. And all these people are just like, oh, like you can tell Tom Brady doesn't care because he doesn't even talk about him. Like if Tom Brady saw this, he probably laughed and said, cool, I'm really playing for a Super Bowl and I have like $50 million in my pocket. Why do I care about this kid from Pittsburgh?
Right. I don't think his feelings would get hurt. And I also think a stand-up thing for Tom Brady would be to advocate for you or match the money in the GoFundMe page or buy your house. But he's also got a lot. He's got a lot on his mind this week. So
oh, yeah.
I'll forgive him for being absent from this conversation for now. But I'll make a prediction that Brady is going to participate in some way in the resurrection of your career or in your GoFundMe page.
I will go work on TB12 and do the Tom First Time Facebook videos. I would do whatever Tom Brady needs. He needs a nanny or babysitter. I'll watch those kids, no problem.
You know, there's two ways to spin out of something like this, buddy, and you're doing it right, Michael. I mean,
I know. Like, I feel so bad for my friends at work, and like people have reached out to me, and like I've had so many nice conversations, and I love every single one of them. They're all so bright and so smart, and they made me a better person, journalist, producer. But I feel bad that they're having to go through this. And I'm like, people called me, and I've been on CNN, I've talked to TMZ, I've talked to you guys in Chicago, I've been on radio station in Buffalo, Boston, just all over the place. And she's like, I just got to keep rolling with it. I've had so many media people reach out to me, like, hey, we want you to do this. Like, the Public Relations Society of Pittsburgh is having their awards tonight. They invited me out to go network and meet people. Some local ad agencies are having a luncheon on Tuesday that they invited me to. And it's been really cool.
Yeah. If you had to do it over again, would you do it differently?
I mean, I would absolutely not. I love my job. Like, this has been great. Like, I told my friends, if I didn't buy this house, this would be the greatest day of my life. But, like, in the back of your mind, the house is always weighing on you, but I think I'll be fine. But it's just been crazy to, like, think, oh, I want to go work for CNN. Okay, now I'm on CNN, and they're talking about me. Like, oh, I used to live in Chicago for a hot minute. I would watch WGN TV and listen to you guys on the radio, and then now you guys are calling me. And it's just been crazy to see that, but I would still just love to sit at home, watch wrestling, and go to KDK the next day and work and not, like, have, like, this crazy nonstop phone life.
Right, right, right. I mean, so the answer is, if you had to do it over again, you would not have put that up there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely not. If you gave me Chris Wolf that this would happen, I would just be, he's Tom Brady, Patriots quarterback.
Boring.
Everyone does that.
That's been done. And by the way, it's funny because I think they speak with forked tongue. I'll bet that, well, okay, let me put it this way. If they had ridden the storm with you, I think KDKA comes out ahead. It's a Pittsburgh TV station that has a lot of viewers that get the joke. They know this was innocent in its intent, and they don't like Tom Brady and the Patriots. By firing you, I think I understand the journalism. Listen, I'm hardcore about this. I'm very hardcore about this. But I don't know that they came out ahead in this when they let you go. I wonder if they have any regrets about letting you go.
I'm sure, like, just like everyone knows, and we'll know in a couple days, like by Tuesday I'm gonna be a forgotten thought. Life moves on, we'll all be all talked about the next thing.
Yeah,
and they're just like, we're just gonna ride this storm right now and then it's over. So I just think that's kind of like they're thinking on it.
All right, Michael Telek. Well, what's the MTelek on Twitter, you said?
It is MKTelek, TELEK. You can find the GoFundMe page there. I've just been sitting on my couch watching TV, checking out the Twitter things. I've been chatting with people. Some people have been really nice. We've had, like, thoughtful discussions. Some people say, like, insanely dumb things, and then we chat about it. And it's just been fun. So I'm just hanging around if people want to hang out.
Kirk Jordan. If you want to come and donate to the charity, you're more than welcome to.
Attention station managers, there's a young hot producer who's available out there. Good luck to you, Michael Telek, and we'll
Thank
be in touch.
Thank you. That or any job ever. Like, I will do anything. So just
right. He's got a mortgage to pay. Come
you
on.
Know, the drag, too, you do a Google search on the story, and they're all pictures of Brady. He's not even getting any FaceTime.
I know. The local paper wanted a picture. They wanted to bring a photographer over. I'm like, oh, that's a bit much. But now looking back on it, I'm like, oh, I should have done that. What was I thinking?
All right, buddy. You stay well. Bye now. His name is Michael Telek. Current temperatures are below zero. We're on our way to zero. Some of you may be above zero. It's kind of mixed depending on where we are. But now I'm ad-libbing here, Steve. Do you have a screen that shows the current temperatures in
the metro? I think we're at a 7 below right now.
Oh, it's that cold still.
Yeah, we're not going to make it to zero.
Well,
ever.
It's really cold outside, and the ice on the river, the Chicago River downtown, as it goes under Michigan Avenue's bridge, et cetera, Columbus Avenue, where we are, you know, it's really thick and icy and beautiful, but it looks glacial. And as I stand here and speak to you, there is an ice breaker doing donuts on the river, just slamming up and down, breaking up the ice. For what purpose? I'm not clear. It's not like we have a lot of water traffic on the river in the winter. And I don't know that he's trying to open it up. I'm wondering if that's to relieve the pressure on the shoreline and the buildings on either side.
Well,
why are they doing that?
I could make something up. I'm not sure either. I mean, the river does freeze solid at times.
Well, it kind of is now.
Well, no, I mean, solid like water. I mean, more solid than this.
So what's your point?
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what they're. I mean, if they just, right. It's got to be to keep the flow, right? To keep an ice flow back up or something. And
I don't know.
Keep it moving, but
I don't know. But next to driving a Zamboni, that's about as much fun as anything could be.
The other thing is,
get the boat, ram through that.
If you look out toward the lake, you can't see it from where you are.
Yeah.
There's a lock space.
Sure, I know where you are. Yeah,
but the lock isn't frozen, so somehow they must be circulating that water or something to keep that access to that lock.
Yeah.
No matter what the situation is.
Maybe there's a news story here, or maybe not, but I've never seen them do that before, and they're doing it right now. Thank you, Steve Bertrand. 2:37 on WGN. Don't normally bump out with Ariana Grande, but you see the Ariana Grande stories? There are more than one of them now.
Aren't there always?
Ariana Grande got a tattoo in Japanese. She got a tattoo in Japanese on her hand that was supposed to read Seven Rings. That's what we were listening to, Seven Rings. But the body art instead translated to Barbecue Grill. Seven Rings, one of her songs. On the inside of her hand, on the palm side, she wanted Seven Rings tattooed, and they put Barbecue Grill.
Well, she's got her new title for the next album, next song.
Barbecue Girl.
Or, does it say girl or grill?
That would have been, it says grill, but okay. I would have gone with that. Barbecue Grill.
Barbecue Girl.
Yeah. Maybe they could lift the R and move it over, but it doesn't work that way. Her Japanese translator, and you know you've made it when you have a Japanese translator, suggested to add one more character in between the symbols that are on her hand, and the new translation would be seven finger circle, or put another way, Seven Rings, and that's the title of the hit song she's trying to get on her hand. Problem solved. So they did that, but the new symbol she got now translates to, and it's not perfect, but it either means Japanese barbecue finger or fiery finger.
So yeah, I don't think I'd want either one of those.
So she needs to get a new tattoo now and try and sync things up. If I were her, I would put an Asian Colonel Sanders in there and just embrace the thing.
Okay. I think it'd be Colonel So or General So.
Here's my mentality on getting tattoos in a different language. Don't do it. Because here's another example that I just pulled up on my phone because I remembered I had it. I had sent it to my Turkish relatives. And so this Turkish supermodel, or I don't know if she was a supermodel. I think she was actually something else. Doesn't matter. And on the side of her body all the way from her rib cage down to her mid thigh. It says, I can judge a single god with my wrongs and wrongs. And so I asked my relatives, is there a saying in Turkish that directly translates to this? And none of them knew what this girl was going for.
So not only is she appropriating a saying nobody in Turkey's heard of, because your family's Turkish and lives in Turkey, or you have family there, but they also got it wrong, right?
Right.
And wrong instead of wrong and right, or right and wrong.
No idea what she was going for, but it was wrong.
Well, Japanese, you know, you see those Asian symbols. I presume it's Japanese or Chinese that you see tattoos, and I don't know about these things. So maybe that's the art of Japanese or Chinese characters is pretty and it's concise. Maybe that's it. Or maybe it's just a little pretentious, like, hey, I got a Chinese tattoo and I know what it means, but you don't. I don't know why you would do something in a foreign language. I'm kind of like you. What's the point of that? Unless maybe you have Japanese family. If you have some ties, then it makes sense.
Well, I think you're right. It's a pretentious thing.
So now she's got she's got Japanese barbecue finger.
Well, if you just have seven rings on your hand, you know, you don't have to explain it, right? So maybe people say,
that'd be
hey, that's a really cool tattoo. What is that? Oh, that's Japanese for seven rings.
Yeah, but it's not. It's Japanese for barbecue. Japanese barbecue finger.
Look, Tom Brady's a known cheater and someone got fired, so truth doesn't matter.
And maybe, and you know what? They don't read it either. The problem is, I guess everybody knows when they see her tattoo, they're going to know because she, you know, the reason you do it, it's for public consumption. You're a big star. I say just sell some space. I just say you reach out to Kentucky Fried Chicken and just say, hey, I'm halfway there. Does anybody know the Japanese symbol for $3 famous bowls? We could kind of work a thing out. Can I just say something about the $3 famous bowl ad that they have for KFC right now?
Mm.
Do you know the campaign I'm talking about?
I think I do, yeah.
So they got that wacky Colonel character these days. And generally, I like the KFC campaign, and I love KFC food. I love me some KFC chicken. I think their coleslaw would be in my last meal. Like they said, John, remember that time you went through the red light? We're going to have to kill you. I'd say, okay, can I get some coleslaw from KFC? That would be on my last thing. I would go with some of their thighs, too. A KFC thigh, original recipe, and some of their coleslaw. I actually will go through a light and, you know, I'm up for that. Let's go. That's how much I like their food. Having said that, the commercial they have right now, where they have this bowl of mashed potatoes and gravy, which looks delicious, but you know you shouldn't. And then they put in this crispy, gooey chicken, which is delicious, but you shouldn't. Then they put some corn in there, which is zero nutritional value in the long run. And then they put more gravy and mashed potatoes and chicken on it. It's just, it looks like some sort of, you know, fantasy comfort food that even when you want fantasy comfort food, you go, yeah, I better not.
It looks like a finished product.
Not like
a starting point.
It looks so fantastically unhealthy.
But it is good.
Is it?
With hot sauce.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, it is
good.
So
you take that brown gravy and corn and you put hot sauce on it?
I put hot sauce on
everything.
Except for cereal.
I just worry about us as a society, Pam. But it does, I mean, all my favorite foods are there. I love corn. I love KFC potatoes. I love KFC, all those things. But I'm just thinking, could we just, like, even if you don't sell broccoli, stage it with some broccoli. Get a little kale salad on the side. Something to just make me think I don't have to apologize to my arteries after this.
I don't order that on a regular basis, though. Like, every night. And you know how I got hooked on it? Actually,
no.
Jenny Craig had a meal like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But, you know, they give you like a spoonful, right?
Not
so
enough.
KFC gives you like
what's
give
you
a real
all
serving.
You want. Let's go.
Right. The whole day's worth of calories. But commercial that I don't like is the one where the Colonel and Mrs. Buttersworth are dancing. Like, that is just so, some just screamed, this is wrong. For the chicken and waffles commercial, I'm like, really? I guess it could be worse if he were dancing with Aunt Jemima, but it was just, something was wrong. Just saying.
There is a campaign, too. Is it Pizza Hut? What's the one, or maybe Papa John's? I think you get pizza, and then you get on the side those cinnamon rolls or cinnamon twists or something, and then, like, French fries and a Coke. You know, it's like all the food groups are there. French fries, dessert, pizza, soda. And I'm just looking at that thing. I'm thinking, America, no. If I get to be king, I want that. I will not allow us to have these foods. Pam, if I get to be king, I'll give you a heads up the day before you can go stock up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to make this stuff against the law. And then they're going to say, why? It's our choices. We like it. I go, I do too. No, we cannot have that. You cannot have that.
Why can't you have cinnamon sticks as a dessert on the side,
you
as
can,
a combo?
With pizza and fries and a Coke? That's just not a meal. That's a death trap.
Pizza and fries?
It's something like that. There's like, it's a fantastically unhealthy looking meal they are promoting.
It might be Domino's, because I see
what does Domino's have?
They have a $19.99 deal for two pizzas and some cinnamon twists.
We should not be having that. That's a bad idea, kids. You know, and then it's like the mom, one of these commercials, it's like, my kids love me now. Yeah, they love you. Yeah, your kids love you. This is bad. Cindy, you're on WGN Radio. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you today?
Good. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to completely disagree with you. Those KFC bowls are, I find them disgusting. My granddaughter and I had one. She loves them, so she encouraged me to get one. And like, oh, Grandma, you're going to love it. It's great. So I got it, and I thought the chicken was gross, so I picked it all off. And I could handle the potatoes and the corn and the gravy, but it was just all so, like, it was just not homemade. It was, you know, and I know it's not going to be, but it just tasted so institutional, and I couldn't handle it. And I ended up just, like, putting it away and giving it to her for later. And the thing is that, and I really can't eat Kentucky Fried Chicken anyway because it had so much MSG in it.
Yeah.
And I'm really allergic to it,
yeah.
But I thought I would give it a whirl, and I'm like, oh, I can't even deal with it. And then they added cheese to it, which was just like congestive heart failure.
Right. Yeah, so I knew there was something else I was missing. So the cheese with the corn, the gravy, the whipped potatoes, and the KFC, and all my friends are there. But I'm telling you, that just it looks bad on TV. And I'm kind of repulsed by the dang thing. All right. Well, what else were you going to say, Cindy?
I was just going to say the other thing is that for me to put everything in one bowl and eat it is so unlike me because I'm a separate eater. Like, nothing can touch on my plate. So, like, if they made, you know, like when they have picnics and stuff and they have those styrofoam plates where everything is individualized, that is my plate.
What are you, 7 years old still? That's
no,
the way I
seriously, I cannot stand my food to touch each other. So eating a sandwich is difficult. So
oh, that's funny. All right, well, thank you for listening. My best to you and your granddaughter.
Thanks. You have a great day.
Bye, Cindy. John, Jim Gaffigan says the only thing missing from a KFC bowl is a suicide note. 630, Nick D loves that KFC bowl. Me, I prefer Browns to other fast food fried chicken. Nick, really, you look so healthy these days. John, KFC stole that idea from Thanksgiving. My family always mixes the leftovers together. I do, too. I mean, I'm not against mixing foods. I don't know. There's just something when they show the close-up of that bowl on TV, I'm just thinking, guys, this is a bad idea. And like I said, you give me some stuffing with a little turkey gravy and some turkey and some mashed potatoes the day after. Phew, that's wonderful. John, I got gut-wrenching food poisoning from KFC about 10 years ago, and I can never eat it again. I'm sorry, I didn't need to read that. And because they're a fine company. Their food's not going to make you sick, at least not that way.
Also, I'm looking at the picture of the $3 bowl for the first time, yeah. And if my mom made it, I would definitely eat it.
Kind of, I know. I just think we would all make it a little more healthily. And here's the other thing that I'm suspicious about. $3? Really?
Mm.
Really? So you guys can serve me this heaping bowl of delicious and maybe even nutritious food?
Okay, but it's not really heaping, though. You know how everything looks so much better in the pictures
right,
on the TV.
Right.
It's not really heaping.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, I'm like, it can't be that good because you're selling it for $3 and you're not doing it for free. you know, you got to make some profit here. So how do they even do this? It's not as big as it looks on television.
Well, it's the left. It's probably, now, I won't say
now,
that
did
it,
you
what
think
it is.
About, I know what you're thinking.
You know what I'm thinking,
that's
right?
That's the stuff they couldn't sell from the buffet.
Well, yeah. Like, I'm thinking, yeah. These companies are finding ways to reuse products. I mean, you know, and there's one other chicken place, which I won't name, which I'm sure you guys all know, that will pull the skin off the chicken at the end of the night, and they put it into their... Well, if I say what it is, I guess you'll know. The jambalaya. Yeah, they told me they put it into the jambalaya or something. I don't know.
Well, you know,
they put the chicken into the jambalaya, not
fun,
the skin.
Right, but I mean, which you and I do. I mean, we all repurpose food at home, but for some reason, when it's done at a restaurant, when it's done institutionally, we feel a little queasy about it. It's 2:50. Lots of phone calls coming in. Huh. We'll say hi to Rokan and Anna DeVlantis in a few minutes, too, and see what's coming up on their show. Meanwhile, John on line one wanted to say what? John, you're on WGN Radio. How are you?
Fine. Cold, other than cold and fine.
Feeling you, man.
In particular, that KFC chicken pot pie thing.
Yeah.
I had one of those, and I'm a guy who happens to like those things a few months back, and I was tremendously disappointed. It was terrible. It was terrible. It was soupy. And one of the things they said about this chicken pot pie of theirs is all the chicken that's in it. So I was looking for the chicken, and there was the piece they ordinarily put in, and then there was another one, and that was it. It was disgusting.
Well, it says on my screen here, but it says on my screen here, John likes the KFC bowl. You don't, huh?
Well, I don't know how they got there.
Okay, that's strike two. If you're keeping score at home, I'd say it's even, though. We've heard from people that love it. Joe, you're on WGN Radio. What did you want to say, Joe? You're on the air.
Hi, John. Popeye's spicy chicken and KFC's coleslaw is the best combination in the world.
Yeah, yeah. I love their coleslaw. Don't get me wrong.
I do, too.
And I believe, so I was, you know, that's my argument for going to KFC to my wife and family because they're not big fans of that place. And
yep.
I say, but they got that coleslaw, and it's not the creamy coleslaw. And then they looked it up, and they said the calories or the something that's bad in the KFC coleslaw is every bit as bad as it is in their, you know, mashed potatoes or something else.
Well, sure. when we do any kind of barbecues, we always go and get a catering tray full of their coleslaw.
Yeah.
Always.
Hey, next time next time you do a barbecue, you call me up. I'll come over. Okay, Joe?
I'll give you a call.
Okay, buddy. Thanks.
Bye, John.
Ed's calling in about Ariana Grande's tattoo, which is how we got down this road. Hi, Ed. You're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon. I heard your discussion, and several years ago, I'm not sure how many, a professional basketball player in this country, it might have been Marquise Daniel, but I'm not positive, got a tattoo in Chinese that I think he wanted to read healthy or strong warrior spirit, something like that.
Yeah.
Actual translation from Mandarin is healthy roof woman. Roof is in the roof of a house. It makes no sense in Chinese or in English or anything else.
I wonder what you do then when you accidentally get healthy roof woman on your... Do you just start... Maybe you need to embrace that, go with that, or do you have
it might
burn
be
off?
Like people who get the tattoo, the name of their current lover or partner, and then a year or two later when they're on the outs, they have to cover it over with some sort of elaborate design or graphic or geometric pattern
right, something.
Just completely obliterate it so they don't look like a complete idiot.
Or date somebody with the same name, you know, like if it's...
That kind of limits your your dating possibilities, but it also provides you with some direction in life also.
At least you know what you're looking for. I really need a
exactly.
Joe.
Exactly.
Thanks for the call, Ed. You have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
There was a story about some starlet, Kevin Elif. Does that ring a bell? Didn't somebody recently... like Katy Perry or Ariana Grande or one of these people, break up with somebody that they had recently gotten tattooed on their hand or arm, and then they had to deal with that issue. Who am I thinking of? Does that ring a bell?
It had to have been Pete Davidson and Ariana Grande.
I was thinking, was it on him or was it on her? But I thought one of them had that tattoo, you know, something that they
one of them
very quickly didn't need anymore.
Yeah, one of them.
Might have been him because he's all tatted up.
He might have her on the back of his neck or something, like something on the back of one of their necks.
Best tattoo story of the week, though. What is the best tattoo story of the week? The best tattoo story of the week is Roger Stone, who has a great big Richard Milhouse Nixon between his shoulder blades. He's got a big, you know, it's funny because I don't know the Roger Stone story that well. I haven't followed him that over the years. I didn't watch Get Me Roger Stone, the documentary about him. And when the feds arrested him, when that SWAT team came in and dragged him out of his house wearing nothing but a polo shirt and ordinary slacks like a commoner. So he's dragged out there in all of his unglory. And he comes out with his hands in the air with the peace sign, the way Nixon did in his final shot. You remember Nixon throwing up the peace symbol, right? I guess that's kind of a signature for him. He's done that a lot of times. And he has embraced Nixon because Nixon was Tricky Dick. And he's a self-described Roger Stone is what is it, political trickster for hire or something like that. That's Stone's thing. So why not just put your muse on your back and there is Nixon between his shoulder blades? And I don't know if that's by now kind of funny and ironic or if it's moronic, but boy, what a funny wrinkle that is to that story. Rokan, Anna DeVlantis are sallying into Studio A.
Hello, John. Sallied. There's been sallying here. I've done it.
You are fully sallied now, Ro?
I'm fully sallied. I'm 100% Sally. Now, let me just tell you something, John. We have got such a star-studded show today. The first hour alone, you got A.B. Stoddard, Laura Ricketts, co-owner of the Cubs, who now wants to co-chair Susana Mendoza's campaign for mayor.
How about that?
How much money is she throwing in on that?
I will ask her.
Because the amount of money people are throwing in on these candidates, only one of them is going to win. It's amazing to me how much money this thing is generating.
That's true. And it's split loyalties within her own family, of course. Yeah. The other Ricketts supporting daily.
Yeah, so there you go. But you know, it's a big family.
It is.
And
they're allowed to have different
And they're
viewpoints.
Very varied in their viewpoints in their family.
Say,
if you might want to know the
range.
Truth. Yeah.
This isn't the first time Thanksgiving's been awkward for them.
Yeah. I would say it's sort of the 180-degree polar opposite kind of things that go on there.
Man.
So there's that. Congressman Kinzinger will be here, too, to talk about the situation in Venezuela and the president going after his own intelligence people. He said today in a press availability, time will prove him right.
Yeah, I shouldn't go down this road, and I haven't. I've typed up my thoughts about this and then thrown it away. But literally, you know, it's like not hitting send. But literally, when he uses T-H-E-R-E, when he means T-H-E-I-R, yeah. I just go off the rail.
Yeah.
I'm like, John, don't take that bait. That's too easy. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't do that. That makes me nuts. And when he called them out for not being smart enough, he used the wrong word in the tweet. Makes me crazy. Okay, I'm done. Goodbye.
Twitter needs a spell check or something.
Somebody. Oh, all right. Thank you, John.